Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I want all my teammates, Mark, Serge, OG, come on, everybody get around me. Come on, we're going to do this together. And we're going to help, I want y'all to help us count this down. We're going to go from five and we're going to unveil this thing. Y'all ready? Five, four, three, two, one.
It's your Yahoo Sports Canada daily podcast for Wednesday, October 23rd. But first, sports. Canada, land of the reigning, defending, undisputed NBA champion Toronto Raptors. The banner is officially in the Raptors. The rings have officially been handed out and placed onto fingers. And the 2019-2020 NBA season has officially tipped off. The defending champ Raptors got things started. How else? With overtime drama, a 130-122 win over the New Orleans Pelicans in front of a sold-out crowd downtown at the Scotiabank Arena. All the numbers from the players you want the numbers for look, well, they look quite good, as a matter of fact. We start with Pascal Siakam, the newly minted rookie-scale max player. How's this? 34 points, 18 boards, 5 assists in his first game as the man, capital T, capital M. He hit some huge shots down the stretch, including some big-time threes. He did foul out late, but not before turning in an excellent game. Exactly what you wanted to see from him in his first game as the man on the team. Another guy we heard a lot about in camp and a lot about in preseason and had a lot to prove this year is Fred VanVleet. He also had 34. He also hit some huge threes. Call that a career high in points for FVV. 34 and 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He started the game. He looked every bit the part of a starting NBA guard, and he will be a huge part of the team going forward if he continues to play that way. He had a bit of a scare with an ankle injury, but he returned to the game and hit some huge shots down the stretch, so that was good to see as well. Kyle Lowry, who else but Kyle Lowry? He missed all but one preseason game because of his thumb surgery. We weren't quite sure, you know, what kind of game shape he's going to be in. Surprise, surprise, his game shape was Kyle Lowry great. 22 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. He was taking charges. He was arguing with officials, picking up techs. It was a Kyle Lowry game through and through. He also, you heard off the top of the show, had the mic, thanked the fans, unveiled the banner. A very emotionally charged night, top to bottom, for the Raptors on opening day. And I ask you, who better to check in on the emotions of Toronto Raptors and their fans and the human pulse of the team? It's Alex Wong. He joins me now post-game from the Scotiabank Arena. Alex, first, if you can just speak to the emotion that you felt and you felt in the arena of seeing everyone get their rings and seeing the banner revealed in front of the home crowd.
I think it was a very surreal, uplifting kind of environment because, you know, the Raptors won the championship, but then they had to deal with Kawhi leaving in free agency. And I feel like that kind of left a bit of a hole there in the summer. And, you know, to get everybody back together in the arena tonight and to see everybody get their rings, to hear Masai get MVP chants, and for the banner to finally go up and the banner is going to be there forever. Like, it was incredible. Like, who would have thought that, you know, the Toronto Raptors would be raising a championship banner one day?
Alex McKechnie got a lot of applause too.
yeah, the most well-known like trainer in the world. Yeah, so I mean, he played a role. I feel like his ring should probably be like, you know, a couple carats more gold or whatever, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. After that excitement and emotion, we saw, I think, the team that we all sort of hoped to see: Pascal Siakam, first and foremost. 35, 18, I believe 5 as well. What did you think of him in his first game as the man?
Yeah, no, incredible. You know, I think one of the questions coming in was, you know, would he have to force things or get out of his comfort zone? But, you know, he was just doing the same things that he's always done, you know, just being Pascal, being opportunistic, taking his defenders off the dribble, picking up loose balls and, you know, running in transition. And, you know, I'm sure he's not going to average 34, 18, and 5 every game. But, you know, to see him play, he talks so much about just playing carefree. And, you know, I think as long as he kind of keeps that mentality, you know, being the number one guy is not going to be a problem for him.
Somebody else who, especially down the stretch and really the whole game long, looked cool, looked calm. He started. What did you think of Fred VanVleet, who also had 34?
Yeah, incredible. Regular season career high. And, you know, Fred's talked so much about not wanting to just be a bench player, wanting to be a starter. He was in the starting lineup tonight. And I feel like, you know, this is his contract year and he's only continuing to get better. And, you know, we talk so much about the future of the Raptors with Pascal and OG. I feel like we forget about Fred sometimes. Like, he's still only 25 and, you know, he's going to be due up for a new contract at the end of the season. And, he's going to drive his price up. But I do feel like if he plays this way and proves that he can be a starter, he'll also be worth whatever money that he'll command.
The guy we saw on the mic and the guy who has been the heart and soul of this team for as long as he's been here, Kyle Lowry. Your thoughts on Kyle Lowry's season opening performance?
Yeah, you know, Kyle, I think, had a solid Kyle game. You know, he was doing Kyle things, including, you know, complaining to the refs and, you know, not getting calls as usual. You know, I thought, you know, him getting a championship ring might have changed that. But I guess, you know, some things stay the same, especially in Toronto. But, you know, Kyle's the engine of this team. You know, I think statistically, when you look at it, whenever Kyle's been on the floor, this team has been like a 50-win team as long as they have Kyle Lowry. And, you know, I think we make a huge deal out of Kawhi and Danny leaving, and we should. But as long as Kyle's here and, you know, this supporting cast is here, I'm pretty confident this is going to be a 50-win team again.
Hey, Patrick Patterson started at the 4 for the Clippers tonight. So
that's what I'm saying. Kawhi left to go play with Patrick Patterson. What a shame. What a shame.
Anything else, either rotations or anybody else on the floor that jumped out at you or from the night as a whole that you're going to remember?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm still befuddled at why Matt Thomas got a DMP. But, you know, I'll dive in. You know, I'll do a little investigative journalism this week. You know, sharing an exclusive on your podcast, you know, I finally introduced myself to Matt in the locker room after the game. So I'm now 99.8% approved. You know, we had a good chat. So a little exclusive for your podcast, you know, mainstream media, please credit Zoop's podcast when you pick this up in aggregate. No, but, you know, I think on the court, I think OG was pretty impressive too. I don't think his stat line necessarily jumped out. But, you know, he was very solid on the defensive end. And, you know, I think we saw tonight that the Raptors are going to have enough guys on offense. But they're going to need to tidy up their defense. And that's where they're going to be able to grind out wins. And OG is such an important part of that. If he can be what he was tonight defensively, that's going to be such a positive for the team going forward.
And then run it back. Is that tomorrow? Yes.
Wednesday, we will be filming. Will and I will be talking about ring night, diving a little bit more into what this championship banner means to us as a longtime Raptors fans, and also breaking down a little bit of opening night. So it'll be fun. You know, Will promised throughout the whole summer that because the Raptors won a championship, that he was never going to get mad at a Raptors game again. And there he was tonight sitting next to me in the fourth quarter saying that JJ Redick was getting a white privilege foul calls. So I had to remind him that, you know, old habits die hard. And, you know, it's the same old Will. So another exclusive for your podcast, William Liu is back.
Raptors are back at it on Friday. They are on the road in Boston taking on the Celtics. Call it call it a Christmas Day preview come 2 months early. The Raptors were not the only Toronto team in action last night. The Maple Leafs played the second half of a back-to-back. They were in Boston against the Bruins. And if the math to you of a back-to-back on the road against a team like the Bruins that has their number does not add up to a very good game, well, you were not wrong. The Maple Leafs fell 4-2 to the Bruins with generally an uninspiring performance. They looked like the second-best team on the ice pretty much the whole game. Stop me if you've heard this before. The combination of David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand were too much to handle for the Maple Leafs. A little bit of poor defensive play here and a lack of discipline there, ultimately doing the Maple Leafs in. Honestly, nothing new, nothing you hadn't heard before. Backup goaltender Michael Hutchinson playing on the second half of a back-to-back. Of course, he takes another loss. He has not been put in a great position to start the season. The Maple Leafs got all their offense from the combination of Kasperi Kapanen, who honestly appears to have come alive a little bit in the last couple games after being moved off the Tavares line, and Alex Kerfoot, who continues to impress as the team's Nazem Kadri replacement. Sort of the Leafs fall to 5-4-2 on the season. The Bruins improve to 6-1-2. It should be noted, Maple Leafs are now last in the league in goals against. They seem, I don't know, willing to let teams trade chances, and they bet on their skill, getting them by most nights. This was an example of a game where they did not get the production from the top players, and as a result, they spent most of the night chasing the game, and they were not able to skill their way to points, regardless of how well they played. We saw them do that against, let's say, lesser teams. Cannot do that against Boston. The Maple Leafs have a couple days off before they, too, return to action on Friday. They host the San Jose Sharks in the front half of a back-to-back before traveling to face the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday. We will see if Coach Mike Babcock continues his adherence to the old starter in game one strategy, even if he keeps walking face first into quotes that can be used against him. We will see this weekend where that goes. Maple Leaf Sharks, as I said, on Friday. And finally, it was game one of the World Series last night, but before the game, the actions of a Houston Astros front office exec was making more headlines than a preview of the Fall Classic. Team assistant GM Brandon Taubman, in the wake of the team's ALCS win on the weekend in the clubhouse, the drinks, you know how it happens, the champagne and then the goggles, he reportedly yelled in the face of at least three female reporters that he, quote, was so effing glad that they got Osuna, end quote, referring, of course, to Roberto Osuna, the former Blue Jays closer. The Astros acquired him last year in the middle of a domestic assault case. He was suspended for quite some time during that case. Really weird, loud, obnoxious behavior. The Astros, to make things worse, initially denied this happening to Sports Illustrated, then had to walk it back. They issued the classic non-apology apology, the standard I'm sorry if got wedged in there. Just gross and dumb. A really bad thing to ever do in the first place, and it cast a shadow over the start of the series. Once the game started, it was the Washington Nationals taking game one. They're undefeated in the World Series as a franchise now. Their first ever World Series game. They win it 5-4, thanks in large part to Juan Soto. He had a home run and a two-run double, three RBI in total. Juan Soto, just awesome. The Nationals, a 1-0 lead in the World Series. They go again in game two tonight. Justin Verlander against Steven Strasburg. One heck of a pitching matchup. And that is it for one heck of a day in sports. That is all we could fit in to one show. I will talk to you tomorrow. There is nothing left for you to do but get out there and enjoy your Wednesday.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts.
here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.